If you have your Bible with you here this morning, if you could take it and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 39 through 45 here in just a moment. A couple weeks ago, we looked at an earlier passage in Luke, in chapter 6, where Jesus was telling us the importance of loving others and loving them even if they don't necessarily love us. And then following that passage, Jesus has a little transition in verse 37 in chapter 6. He says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned." This idea of judging has become a popular thing in our culture. We're told over and over again, do not judge, do not judge, do not judge. And we're told that all the time. And this is one of the most abused scriptures, passage in all of Scripture. It's one that everybody seems to know, and everybody seems to use it. The homosexual community uses it. The adulterer uses it. The alcoholic uses it. The drug abuser, the abortionist, the terrorist, the talking heads of our culture, they all like to use this passage and look and say, do not judge. They use it because they want to tell believers that they aren't to preach on or condemn sin. They tell us that we are to remain quiet, to remain silent. You see, to remain silent because condemning is judging, and because judging is a sin, and we all know that God doesn't want us to sin, so then we better quit judging because then we are sinning. And I understand. I understand why the world likes this passage so much, because it could be used to condemn Christians for simply speaking truth. Now, we need to understand the point of that passage where it says, do not judge. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, to help us understand this, he says this, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So Paul here, he's telling Timothy, he says, look, you need to condemn sin. Whether people want to hear it or not, whether it's popular or not, you do need to condemn sin. You see, we have to judge if we're going to affirm the things that are right, and we have to judge if we're going to condemn the things that are wrong. Now back to this passage in Luke, what Jesus is saying here is that we have to stop hypocritical judging. What Jesus is saying is we better quit judging others if we are guilty of doing the same thing. And that's the heart of today's message that we're going to look at here in Luke chapter 6. Discipline. We can't discipline others if we're not willing to discipline ourselves and look at our own lives. Now, in our culture, our culture teaches about looking out for yourself, and you're number one, and you're the most important person. And typically, as Christians and as in the church, we say, don't look out for yourself. You need to look out for others, and others are more important than you. But there's one area in your life where you need to be number one, and there's one area in your life when you need to take that time and look at yourself and do something for yourself, and that's the area of holiness, personal holiness. See, in our Christian church today, we're kind of weak on holiness. We would rather point out the dozens of sins of everybody else. We'd rather look at our culture and point out all the things that are wrong in our culture than we would rather look at ourselves and see where we are. And if someone points out something in our life, then we begin to make excuses and we begin to get upset about it. If the Holy Spirit convicts us, then we defend our actions. And then we're just like the world, and we like to throw out those words, well, do not judge. You can't judge me. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teachings. Persevere in these things, for as you do, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. See, we can't think that we can go around correcting other people when we have glaring faults of our own. And if you're here this morning and you don't think you have glaring faults of your own, then you need to take some time to do some evaluation, because we all have faults of our own that we need to look at and to take care of. Luke 6, 39 through 45 continues an idea of loving, but it continues this idea looking at some personal evaluation. So let's read together Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 45. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, neither do they pick grapes from the briar bush. The good man ought to, out of the good treasure of his heart, bring forth what is good, and the evil man, out of the evil treasure, bring forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So we look at the importance of our own personal relationship with God and our growing relationship with God. And if we're going to do that, we need to be honest. And Jesus uses an illustration here, and he says, look, we can't be like the blind man. We can't be like the blind leading the blind. Imagine a blind man leading another man. Imagine where they would go. Imagine the trouble that they would get into. Imagine they would get hurt. I heard an illustration once about a blind man who was standing on a street corner getting ready to cross a busy street, and another man walks up to him and says, "Help across the street?" And the first man says, "Sure, I'd love help across the street. I'd love across the street." And they walk together across the street arm in arm. And as they're crossing the street, cars begin to screech and come to a stop, and onlookers are screaming out warnings, and both blind men finally get over to the other side of the street and make to the other side. And as they're standing over there, the man looks at the blind man and says, "Are you trying to kill a blind man?" And the other man says, "No, I'm blind. That's why I asked you help across the street." See, verse 39 talks about the idea of blind trusting another blind person to lead him around. They think they're safe. They think they're going in the right direction. They think what they're doing is good, but it's just a matter of time before they fall into a ditch. Now, there's a couple applications here. The first one is that we shouldn't follow blind guides, that we should not do that. And the Bible gives you illustrations all over the place about the importance of not following people who are blindly leading you. However, I think in this context, I think we need to look at it a little bit different. In this context, I think what Jesus is saying is you need to stop being a blind guide. You need to be the one who quits leading others. We have a responsibility to other places. See, here's where it starts. It starts when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. Then we are no longer spiritually blind. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, read that it says, "The god of this world, Satan, he's blinded the minds of unbelievers, so he may not see the light of the gospel and believe." And so being unblind, being able to see, starts with a relationship with Jesus. Satan doesn't care if we do all the spiritual things, as long as we don't have that relationship with Jesus. Satan doesn't care if we do all this stuff, as long as we don't believe in the gospel and repent. Look, he doesn't care if you love God. He doesn't care if you go to church. Satan doesn't care if you read your Bible, and he doesn't care if you get baptized. He doesn't care if you give to the poor. He doesn't care if you spend all your time praying. He doesn't care what spiritual activity that you do, as long as you don't understand and believe the gospel. And see, and here's what's happening all across places. We see people saying, look, if you're just good, if you just go to church, if you just pray, if you just do these things. And what Jesus is saying, that look, it's not about what you do. It's about who you know. It's about a relationship with Jesus. See, too often the world thinks, if I'm just good enough, I can go to heaven. If I just do the right stuff, if I get to heaven, and I get there and I have this scale, and if my good deeds just so happen to outweigh my bad deeds, then I'm going to be okay. And unfortunately, too often the church, intentionally or unintentionally, enforces this idea. Just do what is good. And Jesus says that's like the blind leading the blind. We have to receive our sight, and we have to point other people to sight. See, then we can lead people to the knowledge of the truth. And then we can lead people to a relationship with Jesus and walking with him. But we also need to understand that even after we receive sight, that there are still some blind spots in our lives. There are some areas in our life that maybe we either intentionally or unintentionally we ignore. And we have these things in our life that we have to take care of. Like if you've ever driven a car, you know there's blind spots. At least I hope you know that if you drive a car, there are blind spots. And if you don't know that, they can lead to accidents. And so whenever you change lanes, hopefully you look over your shoulder a little bit and you take a quick check. And we're aware of these spots so that we can compensate in order to protect ourselves and to protect those that are in the car. Now, several years ago, many, many years ago, my wife was driving our minivan at the time. And on one particular morning, she backs into a snowdrift and she puts a dent in her gas tank. And so her gas gauge is no longer working. And then a few weeks later, she's parked out back here in the church. And leaving the church, she hits the pole out there and takes the passenger side mirror off the car. And being a little frustrated, I say to my wife, I say, "Rebecca, you need to pay attention to what you're doing." And she looks at me very angrily and she says, "I was paying attention." And so I responded in a way that I probably should not have responded. I looked at her and I said, "So you meant to hit the pole?" I did ask for permission to share that illustration before I shared it here this morning, so I won't be in trouble later, I hope. Spiritually, it's the same way. See, there are things that obstruct our vision, and there are things that we have these blind spots in, and sometimes we make these excuses of the things, but we got to pay attention to the things around us, and we have to be honest about this. We have to recognize them so they don't cause damage in our lives. And they don't cause damage in our spiritual lives. And then ultimately, they don't cause damage in the lives of others as they're looking to us to lead them. And as we ignore these blind spots, as we say that they don't exist, then we become a hindrance to somebody else. This is why it's so important that we have a daily walk with Jesus. You know, we talk about this in church all the time, right? We talk about read your Bible, pray. And maybe we get sick of hearing those things. Read your Bible, pray. But if you really want to have a relationship with him, if you want to walk and those blind spots not be in your life, if you want to walk with sight, then we have to be intentional about our relationship with him. It has to be something real. It's not just words that we say in church. We don't just say those so we can fill up time in a Sunday school class or so I can say something cool in the pulpit. We say these things because they're real and important, that relationship with Jesus. See, we need to allow him, as we read his word, as we pray, to correct our sight. And we need to allow him to let us see ourselves the way that he sees us and make those adjustments in our life. See, in the context of judging here, there are people who are trusting you to lead them to safety. And we're responsible for the truth and responsible to share with them the truth. Now think about the people in your life, your children, the children of our church. We have a responsibility to them. It may be your spouse. It may be a friend. It may be other people in our church or our community. And they're looking at you and they're following where you're leading. And we could just possibly lead them off a cliff because of our poor vision. And if we do that, we have a God who's going to hold us accountable. We have to look at our own life. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. It says, "And are confident that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light to those in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having the law, the embodiment of knowledge and of truth. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You should abhor idols. Do you rob temples? You should boast in the law that you're breaking the law. Do you dishonor God?" And so Paul here is emphasizing the importance of looking inward so that we can properly minister outwardly. Be willing to be honest with ourselves and looking at our own lives so that we can help others. Looking at ourselves first and following Jesus, allowing him to be our guide, allowing him to point out the weaknesses in our life, the blind spots in our life, so we can be alert and correct others. And then in verse 41, it talks about the importance of looking to the right teachers. In verse 40, it says, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher." So Jesus again makes another point here, and the same point this time with the student-teacher relationship. And he says, here, you must be careful about who you allow to speak into your lives. it's important we allow godly people to speak in our lives, and people are going to point us to God, and they point us to the scriptures, and they don't point them to themselves. People who will welcome challenges. A good teacher, a good pastor is one who invites questions and invites challenges and wants people to be searching and looking at scriptures and thinking on their own. He wants that from his people. See, a pastor's purpose is to point people to Jesus and to teach them the Word of God and explain to them how do you apply scripture. So if you think I'm doing that, then it's okay for you to listen to me. But if I'm not doing that, don't listen to me. I hear people say that they listen to preachers and they say, well, he's got some things I'm not really sure about, but he says a couple good things and I really like those. Look, if he's saying a couple good things and he's saying a lot of bad things, don't listen to them. That's not a good teacher. If you have a Sunday school teacher who's not teaching the Word of God and you're not looking at the Scripture, then that's not a good place to be. Don't follow poor teachers. Don't follow somebody who's teaching their own thoughts and their own ideas and they're straying away from Scripture. Stop listening to those people. Because our goal is to understand and apply Scripture. Why? Because, you see, when we allow God to work through us and we allow God's Word to teach us, then we become more like the teacher. Not me, the teacher. We become more like God. We become more godly in our lives. And if you want to be more like God, then you want to be more and more like Jesus Christ, then you learn from godly teachers. And not only learn from godly teachers, then you become godly teachers. See, every person here has the opportunity to be a teacher. Now, I'm not talking about teaching a Sunday school class or leading a Bible study, but every person here is a believer in Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity to teach God's Word to your children, to your friends, to the coworkers. The opportunity is all around you. And what Jesus is saying here is we need to be good teachers. And in order to do that, Jesus goes on and he talks about the importance of dealing with our own sin. Verse 41 says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out that speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. So picture the log eye guy. He was standing there, and he's trying to help somebody get the speck out of their eye. Imagine that you're the one with the speck of sawdust in your eye, and you're holding your eye, and you're rubbing your eye because you got some sawdust in it, and you're rubbing it, and you're blinking, and you're water, and you're trying to get that out of there. And while you're doing that, you have someone walk over, and they say, here, let me help you get this out. And you turn around, and you see a person standing there, and he's got a dowel rod sticking out of his eye. All right? And you see this person standing there, and he says, I'm going to help you. Are you willing to let that person be the one who helps you get the speck out of your eye? No, you're saying, dude, you got to go to the emergency room. You got a big old log sticking out of your eye. All right, I can take care of a little dust in my eye. That's our thought. Think about it in other ways. Would you trust the mechanic who just wrecked his car because he had bad brakes to do a brake job on your car? Would you trust a contractor to build your home if his house has just been condemned because of safety issues? Would you go to a banker who has just declared bankruptcy and ask him for advice on how to invest your money? Okay, all these things here illustrate Jesus' point. See, but what happens here is most Christians, when they read this passage, they look at it and they think, well, I'm the guy with the speck in my eye. And I'm sure as heck not going to let somebody with a log in their eye come tell me what I need to change. But see, we're not the guy with the speck in our eye. And if we only apply this verse in that way, we're missing the point. The point is that not to look out for those guys with those logs in their eyes so we don't listen to them. The point is that we need to look at ourselves first. And we need to see us the way that Jesus sees us. And we need to remove that log from our eye so that we can see what God wants us to see. See, far too many of us, this is what we do. We want to apply Scripture to everyone else but ourselves. And we know that we're going to laugh about this because we know it's true. But when we hear a sermon, sometimes what we do is we think, I sure wish so-and-so is here. They should have heard that, right? Or you're doing a devotional and you come across a really convicting verse and so you immediately get online and you send it to somebody because they really need to hear that verse. Or you're reading a good Christian book and it addresses a particular sin and so you buy several copies of the book and you send it to your friends, right? We're really good about looking at everybody else and not applying things to us. Why do we do this? Why are we like this? Why are we so busy looking for the logs in other people's eyes when we have logs in our own eyes? Inspect ourselves. Look at our lives. Search our hearts and apply Scripture to ourselves. Look, Satan loves to keep our attention on anything else as long as it doesn't fix the sin that is in our lives. Let me ask you just some questions. When was the last time that we were more concerned about the sin in our life than we were about the balance in our checkbook? When was the last time we were more overwhelmed about the spiritual failure in our life than we were about the political climate in our country? When was the last time our hearts broke more over our own spiritual needs than over our physical needs? When was the last time we were more upset about not reading the Bible than we were about not getting our morning cup of coffee? Look at our lives. We see hypocrisy every single day. And if you don't like that word, hypocrisy, I'm sorry, it's not my word. That's what Jesus said. He said, quit being hypocrites. We say that we're concerned about sin. We say that we care about our world. We say that we love people. We say these things, but we ignore the sin in our own lives, and we can no longer do that. See, when the world sins, we like to point the finger and we like to whisper about them and say, look at what they're doing. How could they? And we need to look at our lives sometimes and say, you know what? How could I? How could I disobey my Father? How could I do this? See, if we truly love people, if we truly care about people, then we're willing to deal with our own sin. And we do that for the health of others. See, by removing the log from our own eye so that we can see clearly and remove that sin from our lives, then our goal becomes restoration. Our goal becomes helping somebody else to grow in their relationship to the Lord and to help them be who they would have to be. See, Jesus doesn't tell us not to judge others. What Jesus tells us is don't be hypocritical judges. He says before you help others, deal with your own. We can be right with other people when we're right with ourselves. Don't be hypocrites by applying different standards to them than we're willing to apply to ourselves. See, we look at our world, our society, and they look at Christians and they say, I don't want to go where Christians are. I don't know what churches are because they're a bunch of hypocrites. And that really bothers me some because no matter where you go, you're going to be at a place where there's hypocrites. You know, honestly, I can't sit alone in my house and get away from hypocrites because I'm there, right? We are all have some hypocrisy in our life. But the world looks at us and they see the church and they see Christians as hypocrites. And what they're seeing is they're seeing sometimes Christians who live by double standards. And we're telling others that they can't do something when we ourselves are doing the same thing. Look, God condemns when Christians use double standards. We need to earn the right to condemn the world around us. We need to earn the right to condemn the sinful brothers and sisters in our midst. But the point isn't to just judge them and point about how bad they are. The point is that we're trying to bring people to a place of restoration. And we're trying to bring people to a point of salvation, pointing them to a relationship with Jesus Christ, not just condemning them because of how horrible they are. And if we can do this, this says a whole lot about our own spiritual maturity. This shows how much we love Jesus and how much we truly love others. This is when we begin to produce fruit in our life. Let's look at the last few verses here in 43 through 45. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. What we do shows really who we are. An apple tree produces apples. A pear tree produces pears. An orange tree produces oranges. And godly people do godly things. See, a good tree produces good fruit. A healthy tree produces healthy fruit. And if we're walking with Jesus and if we're dealing with our own sin in our life, if we're loving others, then we make a difference. And then spiritually, we produce healthy fruit, and spiritually, we're making a difference in those lives around us. But a bad tree produces bad fruit. And if we're not willing to do things that we're supposed to, if we're not willing to do the things that God would have us to do, then we're going to perform bad results. It's pretty simple. Follow God, do godly things, you walk with the Lord, you produce good fruit. If you don't do that, you produce bad fruit. And so we can't just go through life and hope that we're producing good fruit. It has to be something that we are intentionally digging our roots in the foundation of Jesus Christ and looking into his word and living for him so that we can produce the fruit that God would have us to do. See, if we are self-righteous people, then the world will see us this way and they'll respond to us accordingly. But if we truly love God and we truly treat others the right way, and if we're truly grounded in truth, then the world responds to us that way too. And the truth is, this passage says, the mouth reveals what's in the heart. That last part of that verse makes it so clear when Jesus says, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. What we say reveals what's really in our heart. What we do really reveals what's in our heart. See, I can tell a whole lot about a person and how much they love God and how much they love others by how they treat them. I can tell how much you love people by how you talk about them. You know, we can say whatever we want to, but if we say we love people and we're talking bad about people behind their back, if we say we love people but we're treating them poorly, that says what's really in our heart. With the mouth reveals what's in our heart. You know, we can only pretend for so long before our real intentions are shown. And we can't hide from this fact. If you love God truly in our heart, then it flows from our mouth. And then we can properly respond to the sin that's in our own lives. And then we can respond to the sin of those around us. And then our attitude toward righteousness will lead others to righteousness. And that's what Jesus is saying here when he asks the question, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Simply, Jesus is saying, look at yourself. Take care of the sin that's in your life so that you can go to your brother and help them deal with the things that are in their life. And together, you can walk with Jesus. And that's the challenge this morning, and that's the invitation. As we looked at our lives this morning, we ask you to respond as God may be leading you. As I put these sermons together, I just don't sit at my desk and come up with clever things to say, but I take time to really think about these things. And in my life, looking at this verse, I had to do some evaluation. And I had to look at my life and say, God, if there are things in my life, if there are logs in my eye that I need to remove, God, help me to do that. And this morning, I'm asking you to do the same thing. As we're here this morning, look at your life, and if there's a log, if there's some sin in your life that you need to deal with so that you can walk with Jesus, I'm asking you to do that here this morning. If you're here this morning and you have something else that God is dealing with in your life, if you need to respond to him in some way, this is the opportunity that we have to do that.